Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Israel Unplugged. This is Josh Wander from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. I'm here with my co-host, Rabbi Moshe Lichtman from Beit Shemesh.
Yes. Hello, hello. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoy the show today, as always.
Israel Unplugged, of course, is where you get the unadulterated facts of where we're holding in the redemptive process, focusing primarily on the ingathering of the exiles. We want to let you know, again, that this is a live show, so you are not only welcome to, but you are encouraged to call in. If you are so unfortunate to be a Jew located somewhere else besides the land of Israel, you can call in our North America number 301-768-4841. Again, 301-768-4841. If you are fortunate enough to have returned home to the land of your ancestors here in Eretz Israel, the number will be 02-650-0151. Again, that's 02-650-0151. We also want to pay some attention to the websites of my co-host, Rabbi Lichtman, which has all of his books and his shiurim and information about what he's up to. That is at Torat Zion, TORATZION.com. And also to the website bringthemhome.org.il, where you will find a whole slew of videos. You will find our blog. You will find audio that comes from not only this show, but our podcast, and all the information you will need in order to be properly informed of why Eretz Israel is the place that all the Jews belong in, and they should come here post-haste. We're going to be discussing a lot of exciting topics today, including the holiday of Yom HaTzma'ut that we just had, the holidays of Lag BaOmer that's coming up, and Yom Yerushalayim, as well as general topics. And we look forward to going into depth, and we hope that you will stick with us and enjoy the show. This is a show that we do weekly, and we hope that you will stay with us. Thank you.
Did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel? Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Israel Unplugged. As we said, we're going to have a great show for you today, talk about a lot of different issues around this time of year. I just wanted to start with something that my co-host Josh said in the introduction. He talked, you know, every week we say that if you're fortunate enough to live in Israel, this is the number you call. And if you are unfortunate enough to still be in the exile, so there's a different phone number for you. And it reminded me of something that I'm fond of saying, that according to halacha and according to Jewish sources, there's really only two places in the world. There's Eretz Yisrael and everything else. Everything else is called chutz la'aretz, right? It's called outside the land. Like, the Torah recognizes Eretz Yisrael as the holy place. That's where the Jewish people belong. And everything else is outside of it. It doesn't have a name in and of itself. I mean, of course, there are lands you know, of course, the Torah also talks about Mitzrayim, Egypt, and Syria, and all the other places. But at least the rabbis, the way they sort of group it all together and call it Chutz Laaretz. It's outside of the land of Israel. And, you know, this show is all about making you or hopefully trying to enlighten you to the fact that the Jewish people don't belong chutz. They don't belong outside. They belong inside, the Holy Land. So I know we have a an article that I read this week by a good friend of mine, Michael Freund, in the Jerusalem Post. He writes for the Jerusalem Post, and he does a lot of other great things. He was actually on our show, for those of you who remember. We had him as a guest a few months ago. So, Josh, you want to introduce the article and tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, I want to first respond to what you said. I often give tours, and when I mention the Mishnah in the beginning of Tractate Kelim that says that there are 10 different levels of holiness in the world, and the lowest level, of course, is Eretz Yisrael. And I always say, tell the people that I'm bringing on tour that I'm sorry that Muncie and Borough Park and Lakewood didn't make it onto the map. Eretz Yisrael is the lowest level of holiness in the world, and then it goes up from there. Okay.
Right, but don't make it sound like it's a low level of holiness. It's just that compared to the highest
for
level,
sure,
Holy
sure.
of Holies and Jerusalem, so the rest of Eretz Yisrael is less holy than the other nine levels. But everything outside of Eretz Yisrael is not even in the ball game. It's not right. holy at all. It's bereft of holiness. And that's something we have to keep in mind. Yes.
So Michael Freund published an article in the Jerusalem Post this week, and it is entitled, "Why Are So Many North American Orthodox Rabbis Silent on Aliyah?" And it goes on to say, in the light of rising anti-Semitism in the U.S., the growing political divide and mounting social unrest that seems to be sweeping the continent, this query only takes on added urgency. Now, and I have to say, because I always add this caveat whenever we go along this this route, is that I personally, and I think that this is the right way to do it, is that we encourage Jews to make Aliyah for the right reasons. We want them to make Aliyah not because of rising anti-Semitism, not because of the growing political divide, not because of social unrest, but because they understand that this is where God wants them to be. And that will lead to a successful, God willing, Aliyah, because if one's coming for the wrong reasons, then they may not, it may not work. Okay, so let me just continue on and see what he has to say here. He says, over the years, as I take part in annual festive celebration of Yom HaTzma'ut and the divine restoration of the Jewish sovereignty that Independence Day embodies, I have found myself increasingly troubled by a question that may be simple, yet is anything but simplistic. To put it bluntly, why are so many North American Orthodox rabbis silent on the issue of immigrating to Israel? In light of rising anti-Semitism in the U.S., the growing political divide and mounting social unrest that seems to be sweeping the continent, this query only takes on added urgency. Indeed, for anyone with even an inkling of Jewish historical consciousness, the failure of much of the Orthodox rabbinical leadership to inspire, cajole, nudge, preach, plead, and teach their followers to make Aliyah is both staggering and inexplicable. After all, over the past 1900 years of exile, Orthodox Judaism nourished the vision of returning to Zion, placing it at center stage in Jewish ritual, thought, and belief. Despite the slaughter of the Crusades, the dungeons of the Inquisition, the pogroms, the expulsions, forced conversions, and massacres that our people endured, Jews were always sustained by the dream of restoration. And now, after the modern state of Israel was established 73 years ago, transforming that aspiration into reality has never been more achievable. So why aren't Orthodox rabbis in America and elsewhere vocally leading the change to return to our, and Tatar, to return to our ancestral homeland. He continues, to understand just how pitiful the extent of Orthodox immigration from North America has been, it's worth taking a quick look at the sorry statistics. Each year, an average of 3,000 to 4,000 North American Jews immigrate to the Jewish state, of whom an estimated 80% are said to be Orthodox. That translates into just 2,400 Orthodox Jews from the U.S., Canada, and Mexico who annually make the long journey home to Zion. As a kid growing up in New York, I attended ball games at Shea Stadium and Madison Square Garden, where more Jews were present than that. All told, there are more than 500,000 Orthodox Jews in the U.S. alone, which means that, one second, my computer just jumped.
Less than one half of 1% of them are migrating to Israel each year.
If it came to any other mitzvah, whether ordained by the Torah or the sages, and just one half of 1% of Orthodox Jews were bothering to fulfill it, wouldn't there be an outcry from the pulpit? Wouldn't the spiritual leadership of North American Orthodoxy jump into action, organize conferences, write articles, deliver sermons, and try to get people to act? And yet, when it comes to immigration, not much hand-wringing seems to take place. This oversight, if it can be called that, is particularly difficult to comprehend in light of the importance that Jewish sources down through the centuries have attached to making Aliyah. For example, the Sifri in Deuteronomy 12 states unequivocally that dwelling in the land of Israel is the equivalent of all the mitzvot in the Torah. That isn't a quote from an Aliyah brochure. It is from a midrashic work of halacha, Jewish law, dating back to Talmudic times. Nachmanides, the great medieval scholar, in his comments on Maimonides' Sefer HaMitzvot, wrote categorically that the mitzvah to dwell in Israel is a positive commandment for all generations, obligatory upon every individual, even in the time of exile. The Petrei Tshuva, in his 19th century commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, notes that all earlier and later authorities agree with Nachmanides' position that there is a positive Torah commandment to live in Israel. Moreover, the overwhelming majority of modern-day decisors of Jewish law, such as the Chazon Ish, the Avnei Nezer, Rabbi Avadi Yosef, and countless others, all conclude that Aliyah is a mitzvah incumbent upon every Jew. This includes the late Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg, a leading Orthodox rabbinical authority known as the Tzitz Eliezer, who in a remarkable response goes so far as to say that the establishment of the State of Israel brought about an increased obligation, even with respect to individual Jews living in the diaspora, to fulfill the mitzvah of Aliyah and settlement. Of course, there are other opinions as well, but even those who say there is no obligation to make Aliyah nonetheless concur that doing so is a tremendous mitzvah rife with spiritual benefit. In light of the above, it is time for Orthodox rabbis abroad, and particularly those in North America, to revive the idea of Aliyah, underline its importance, and encourage observant Jews to start booking flights. Sure, immigrating is not simple or easy or convenient, and I do not think that it is my right or anyone else's to pass judgment on the decisions that individuals make on this issue. But it is most certainly the responsibility of Orthodox's spiritual shepherds to guide their flock and lead them in the right direction. Just think what an influx of tens of thousands of North American Jews would mean for this country. Their arrival and contribution would be felt in nearly every field imaginable.
If I could interject right there, I mean, think about the political stalemate that we've been having for the last close to 2 years.
Four elections.
If we would have a large amount of Orthodox Jews coming and making Aliyah, so there would be no question that the right-wing religious part of the government would have the majority, and we would have had a government already a while ago. And that's just an obvious example that we see that we need people. We need more people to come back and come to Israel and help us out here. And this is where the future of the Jewish people is. It's not anywhere else. Yeah, let's finish the article and then we'll discuss
I think
more.
I think we're running out of time, so I think we're going to continue. Just there's a couple more paragraphs and then we're going to discuss it right after this break. Again, we were discussing an article written by Michael Freund, and it is an amazing critique on Orthodox Judaism in America today. Stay with us.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radio from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Israel Unplugged. We are in the middle of discussing an article that was published by Michael Freund in the Jerusalem Post that's critiquing Orthodox Judaism's lack of aliyah, of coming to Israel, at least the rabbis pushing them to do so. And we're just finishing off this article, and then we're going to discuss it a little bit. So he writes that perhaps one way to stimulate greater immigration from North America would be for more rabbis to set a personal example and make the move. In this regard, it is worth recalling one of the least known yet highly significant mass immigrations to have taken place in the past millennium. The Aliyah of the 300 rabbis known as Tosafists from France and Germany in 1211. In the Shevet Yehuda, written by the Spanish Jewish historian Solomon Ibn Verga in the 15th century, it states, God inspired the rabbis of France and England to go to Jerusalem. They numbered more than 300 and were accorded great honor by the king. He further writes that they built synagogues and houses of study, and that when a drought struck the land of Israel, they prayed for rain and were answered, and the name of heaven was sanctified because of them. I dare say that Israel is currently experiencing another drought, albeit of a different kind. It is a drought of Orthodox Aliyah from North America and elsewhere, which amounts to just a few drops each year rather than the torrent it could potentially be. So maybe, just maybe, if 300 North American rabbis would follow in the footsteps of the Tosafists, if it would not only sanctify the name of heaven, but also move more of their congregants in New York, Toronto, or Los Angeles to do the same, here's hoping that the call of Zion will not go unheeded. Chag Ha'atzma'ut Sameach, Happy Independence Day. And the writer is the founder and chairman of Shavei Yisrael, which is assist in lost tribes and hidden Jewish communities to return to the Jewish people.
Wow. Powerful, powerful stuff. I couldn't agree more with every word he said, but I don't have, you know, I was telling my co-host Josh over here during the break that when Michael wrote, sent me this article at the beginning of the week. So I wrote back to him that, you know, unfortunately, it was great. It was an unbelievable article. But unfortunately, I don't think that many people are going to take heed. And he said, well, you know, we still have to do what we can. And, hopefully one or two people will get the picture. But especially this idea of the 300 North American rabbis, but there's something I always say, people do say, like, if the big rabbis would come and make Aliyah, so then, their congregants would follow. But again, I'm sorry to be pessimistic, but this is just, we know that history has taught us that it's not necessarily the case. Think about it. I think I've said this before on this show, that Ezra HaSofer, right, the great Ezra, who the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that had the Torah not been given through Moses, it would have been given through Ezra. That's how great he was. And he called upon all the Jews at the time of the Second Temple to come back to Israel like God had prophesied. And he said, come. And they ignored him. Remember, we were talking about the book that I translated, Rise from the Dust. There's a whole section there about different communities who have traditions that Ezra sent them letters and they didn't call, and how they were punished because of it. So look, we hope that things are going to change and that people are going to learn from their mistakes, because you know what it says, you know, the famous phrase, those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. So all I can say is that we hope people will listen to what he has to say.
Yeah, I'm also a little bit doubtful. And of course, Ezra himself was a prophet, so he was. It wasn't even a question of, you know, today we cover over many people that come up with all sorts of excuses. So they sort of make up all sorts of reasonings why they can't come to Israel, not for personal reasons, but even reasons in
ideological.
Jewish law. Ideological, exactly. Philosophical reasons, theological reasons. And that's exactly what now if God himself is speaking through Ezra, right? It wasn't a question of whether this is what God wants or not. This is what God is saying that we have to do. And even then it was rejected. So how much more so today, when people have all these different excuses, they can always rely on the Satmar Rebbe or someone else that tells them that not only is it not a mitzvah, but you shouldn't even go to Israel. So, you know, if you're looking for an excuse, you can find one. And unfortunately, people are so comfortable that they can easily find these excuses. Next week, I'm jumping ahead, but it really fits into what we're talking about. Next week is the day which is known as Lag BaOmer. We're in the period between the holiday of Pesach and Shavuot, and we count each of these days leading up to the giving of the Torah on Shavuot, between Passover and the giving of the Torah, and we're counting each of these days. And the 33rd day is a very special day in Judaism. It is called Lag BaOmer. There's actually it's a semi period of mourning during this period, and a lot of people finish that mourning period during Lag BaOmer. And it is also a time that Jews commemorate the passing of one of the greatest Talmudic scholars, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who is also the author of the Kabbalistic work, the Zohar. And people come from all over the country and all over the world in order to be at his grave. His grave is located in the hilltops of the Galilee in Meron. And they come from all over the world in order to be there. This year, we don't know how many people are going to be able to make it from around the world, but we know that the gates are slowly opening up and more people are coming into Israel. But I took a clip from one of the videos on our YouTube channel from Rabbi Shalom Gold of Har Nof, who just gives a little bit of a talk about this idea of coming for Rabbi Shimon, coming to Israel for Lag BaOmer, and I'll play that now.
The Gemara in Baruchas says that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said that the three great gifts were given to the Jewish people, and they were all given through to be acquired through toil and suffering: Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and the world to come, Olam Haba. I've never heard anybody saying, "Listen, Hashem, Torah is great, but no thank you. Keep your Torah." I never heard anybody say, "Olam Haba is a good zach. Olam Haba is great, but no thank you." But how many people are saying, "You have gave us a great gift. Our generation will zeicher to it, but no thank you." unacceptable. Unacceptable. I can't help it, but I meet people who come flying in for Lag BaOmer, from Flatbush, from Borough Park, from Muncie. I meet them occasionally, so, you know, I came in to Reb Shimon, you understand? Then 2 days later, he'll be back for Mincha. I was by Reb Shimon. Does he know what Reb Shimon is thinking when he comes there? Did you hear what I said? God gave you a great gift. Our responsibility is to grab that gift with all of our strength and with all of our might. Alei v'hatzlach. Go up and you will succeed. It will be difficult. It will call for adjustment, but you can do it. This is the place to be.
So that's the idea. People come from all over the world to be by Rabbi Shimon, but little do they know that Rabbi Shimon himself teaches that one of the fundamentals of our world, of our Torah world, one of the fundamentals is the Torah, the Olam Haba, which is the world to come, and living here in Eretz Yisrael. So what is Rabbi Shimon thinking as Jews are coming? Just to add to what he's saying, when people are coming to Lag BaOmer to be by his grave, and they're coming, you know, to be with Rabbi Shimon, and then they're on the next plane out back to New York. Obviously, there's some misunderstanding over here. What do you think, Rav Moshe?
Oh, for sure. I have an entire shiur that I give on Lag BaOmer right before Lag BaOmer, and trust me, that is not the only source that you could find where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says something about the importance of living in Eretz Yisrael. I'll just share with you one more because it's very, very powerful. There was a story in his yeshiva that there was a student who was having a hard time making ends meet. So he left the land of Israel. He went to Chutz Laaretz, and he went to do some business. And he came back rich. He succeeded, and he made a lot of money. So all the other students were so jealous of him. Look, he went to Chutz Laaretz, and look how much money he made. And what happened? So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai took all of his students out to, it's actually a famous place, Meron maybe, whatever, somewhere around that area in the Galilee. And he said, "Valley, oh valley, fill with gold coins." And all of a sudden, in front of them, the entire valley filled with gold coins, trillions of gold coins. He said to his students, said, if money and riches is what you want, go and take it. But just remember, whoever takes now is taking part of his Olam Haba, of his next world.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa. Each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
So welcome back to Israel Unplugged. We were in the middle of a story. I lost track of time, so sorry about that. So The Midrash tells us that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai had this student who left Eretz Yisrael in order to do business, and he came back very rich. And his other students were all jealous, so he took them out to this big valley, and he said, "Valley, valley, fill up with coins." And it filled up with all these millions and trillions of gold coins. And he said to his students, "You can take, it's all right in front of you. If you want to be rich, you can take it right now. But just remember, whoever takes now takes his portion in the world to come." And, you know, the message is obvious, certainly about, you know, the importance of learning Torah, how, you know, sometimes it's difficult. You might not make so much money learning Torah or going into a profession of education, etc. But what's interesting is the same story could have been told without having anything to do with Eretz Yisrael. It could have been a guy who was learning in yeshiva, and then he decided to go into business, and he got rich. But that's not what it was. It was specifically about leaving Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Laaretz. And that is exactly what Rabbi Gold was talking about, because acquiring Eretz Yisrael is difficult. It's only acquired through suffering. And therefore, we have to remember that it might be more difficult, but, you know, we believe one of the most important tenets of Judaism is that there's another world, that there's an afterlife, that there's reward and punishment. And, you know, this particular mitzvah carries with it tremendous reward for those who do it, because it really shows how much they're willing to sacrifice for God and his Torah. And, you know, and that's why we go back to the discussion we were talking about before. It's so heart-wrenching and upsetting that there are so many religious Jews out there who just ignore this issue. They just ignore it. It's as if it's not even an issue. And, you know, one of the reasons, of course, is because they've been convinced that Zionism is a bad thing, right? The Zionist leaders were secular. Zionism, you know, unfortunately did cause some Jews to go off the derech, to leave the faith. And, you know, they're therefore against Zionism. And because they're against Zionism, they equate Zionism with the land of Israel. And, of course, there's a correlation, but it's not – you could be very, very pro-Israel and not necessarily pro-Zionism. They're two separate things. We're not asking, you know, all the Jews in the world to agree with the Zionist philosophy, but to agree with true Zionism, which is a love for the land of Israel that all Jews throughout the generations always had. It was not even a question. There was not a single rabbi who would ever deny how special and important living in the land of Israel is to the Jewish people. And all of a sudden, that's become not so important. Not so important.
And then, of course, there's the other camp that says that they are staying outside of Israel in order to either because they're needed in their communities, they're needed to have to help the Torah and the Jewish communities in America, and those that even go a step further and say that we're there in order to help Israel, we need to have a segment of the Jewish population outside of Israel in order to show solidarity and to go to the government and to when it comes to doing government relations. And there are those that say that they need to be there. And I'm always at least to the first group of those people, I'm always recall what the famous French leader said, De Gaulle, that the cemeteries are full of indispensable people, that everybody thinks that they're indispensable and without them, everything would collapse. But the truth is that there are very few communities in America that would collapse if the rabbi were to get up and leave, or if a significant portion of the population would get up and leave. The communities would be just fine without them. They'll survive, and the Jewish people will go on. And the necessity to have a group of Jews outside of Israel in order to have the most effect, I think that leads into a whole different conversation, which I don't think we have time to have right now. But the idea of where the Jewish people have the most effect on the world. We have this idea which has been very skewed by different groups of Tikkun Olam, and how we're supposed to bring Hashem into the whole world and we're supposed to be a light into the nations. But the place that we can do that the best is not by being with the nations, but actually being in our own land as our own nation, as our own people, and then spreading the light out to the rest of them.
Correct. 100%. I also, you know, always say about the, the second group of people that you said that they're needed. Okay, maybe there should be a few people designated, you know, be sent as ambassadors to various different places in the world. But, the majority of the Jewish people, the vast majority of the Jewish people need to be in the land of Israel. And it's also a very funny argument, because anybody in their right mind who thinks that the state of Israel came into existence and everything that came from that, i.e. the ability of 6.8 million Jews to come and live here, et cetera, et cetera, is all because of the support of diaspora Jewry. I'm not belittling it. I think it's, you know, it's tremendous, those who have to stay there, and at least they give and they help, and that's beautiful. But anybody who doesn't understand that the reason that we exist here is because God wants us to exist, and there is no other reason. And again, it's so far-fetched that this could ever have happened, that the Jewish people who are scattered all throughout the world could gather together and decide to return to their ancestral homeland, and that would actually work. And it's so obvious that it was God behind the scenes making it happen. In fact, there's a very beautiful idea I have to share. Rabbi Michael Freund mentioned the Tzitz Eliezer in his article. So, you know, one of the famous questions that people ask is, you know, if it's really true that this is the beginning, the initiating stages of the redemption, so why was it done by secular Jews? And the Tzitz Eliezer gives three answers. One of his answers is actually so counterintuitive that it's so, and once you hear it, you say, like, wow, you know, that's such a great idea. That's such a beautiful idea. He says, if religious Jews had initiated the return to Eretz Yisrael and, you know, tried to build the state, so people would have thought, would not have necessarily thought that this is God bringing about the redemption. They would have said, you know, religious Jews throughout history have loved Eretz Yisrael and have yearned for the land of Israel, and they understand the special holiness of the land of Israel and how all of the mitzvot that we do here are more special, et cetera, et cetera. So people would have said, oh, it's just natural. It's just religious Jews wanting to be more religious, and therefore they're trying to live in Israel and they're trying to, you know, do as many mitzvot as they can. And we wouldn't have realized, we wouldn't have said that it's God's doing. But now that the secular world did it, secular Jews, Jews who were so far from anything Jewish, really, and they all of a sudden got this bug in their head, so to say, this idea to come and rebuild the land of Israel, the ancient homeland. It's so ridiculous. It so makes no sense, that the only way to explain it is that God was behind the scenes making it happen. Do you hear that? You hear how you know, he flips it around? People would usually say, no, if it was religious, so then, oh, then that's the redemption. But no, people would have given an excuse and said, no, it's just religious Jews wanting to live in Israel. But now that it's the secular Jews, it has to be that God was behind the scenes, because it makes no sense any other way.
Rabbi Chaim Zimmerman says something very similar, but he says it in relation to halachic rulings, the rulings of Jewish law, that he says that if God made the religious Jews be the majority here in the land in 1948, and then the question came up as to whether or not a state should be announced, and whether and it was clear that as soon as the word got out that we announced a state, that we would immediately be at war with the five Arab nations that are around us, and they outnumbered us you know, 100-1 or whatever it was. So clearly we didn't have a much of a chance considering what type of army or lack of thereof that we had at the time. So he said any rabbi that would be consulted at the time would have clearly given an answer and said, you're not allowed to do that. According to Jewish law, we're not allowed to commit suicide. We're not allowed to do things that are against the nature. The only way that Hashem could have made this happen is by giving it to the hands of secular people that weren't going to ask the rabbis this question, that would deal with pikuach nefesh, that would deal with, you know, saving lives, and they would make these decisions for political reasons, not because they're going through questions of Jewish law. So that's why Hashem orchestrated it in a way that it would go through secular people that wouldn't be asking the questions of the rabbis in the first place.
Yes, that is such a powerful idea. And, you know, it's actually connected to something we read in this past week's Haftorah, which we don't have time to go through. But the four Mitzoraim, these sinners, are the ones who brought about the redemption. Look at the Haftorah of last week. So, too, the redemption of our day and age was brought about by secular Jews. And there's nothing abnormal about that. God can bring redemption however he wants. We'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us. And come back.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.